Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL, a scorching hot Friday edition. And here in just a few moments, we are going to be joined by Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. But first, we want to remind you that when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away a couple of tickets to see the Tribe take on the Kansas City Royals on Sunday, August 25th. Make sure you're tuned in through the entire interview, because at the end, we will give you the cue to call to find out how you could win those tickets. Rosie, a pleasure as always to have you on today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bull. How you doing?
So far, so good. And boy, it's extraordinarily warm out there, and that's going to be challenging for everybody, not only tonight, but through the weekend as well. And speaking of hot, any explanation for the recent offensive surge for Mike Freeman? Boy, he hasn't played a ton, but when he's been called on, Rosie, he's played really well, especially in July.
Yeah, he's just prepared, and I think he's a player who's in the right spot, both for, you know, from the Indians' perspective and maybe even from his perspective, too. I'm sure he'd love to play a lot more, but here's a guy who's 31. He's been in pro ball for 10 seasons, and he's tried to find his niche, whoever he's been with. He's been with the Cubs, he's been with the Mariners, but not for a full season. And he was saying yesterday, this will be the first time that he's been with a major league team for most of the season and really feels like he has a spot. So he's kind of figured out a way to be prepared so when he's called upon, he can come through. And as he puts it, I know, you know, you're seeing it, because there's a home run and he has a, you know, some key base hits and things like that. He just looks at it not from that perspective, but when he gets the chance to play, whatever he can do, small or big, to help the team win, then he considers it a good day. Now, obviously, a home run is a big thing, but he said even from the standpoint of, you know, if he goes in and spells Francisco Lindor for a day, and that means Frankie's more fresh down the road and can help the team win that way, he feels he's a part of that. So it's really just focusing on the team aspect of it that's really helped him along.
Yes, and the proof is in the pudding, no doubt about that. Again, in July, he has been terrific. Another guy that very quietly, Rosie, has played well throughout the course of the season, even though he's been injured a little bit along the way, is Tyler Naquin. I know that's not a name that we have mentioned much recently, but very quietly, he's hitting .286 on the year. He's gone deep 8 times, even though he has only played 59 games. Why do you think the year has gone so well for him?
Well, I know you mentioned he has been dinged up a little bit, but nothing major, and that's the key. Remember, in 16, he was third in the Rookie of the Year voting at the end of the season because of the numbers that he put up. But since then, he's really battled injuries that have cost him significant time on the field. He was finally able to get healthy this offseason completely. And again, some minor bumps and bruises have held him out on occasion this year, but nothing long-term, nothing significant. And that may be the biggest key of all. I know it sounds simple, just staying healthy, but he has talent. And if he can be on the field and show that talent, that's a big key. And again, for him, that was a challenge. So this year he's able to do it. And he's progressing. He's an experienced major leaguer now. So if he can continue to stay healthy, I don't see any reason why his success doesn't continue.
And it seems like his success certainly has been contagious. But can you explain why him being so successful does so much for this starting lineup?
Well, he's batting down in the 9 hole. So if he gets on, then you're looking at Lindor at the top of the lineup, Mercado. It helps them drive in runs, and you need that in the American League especially. Without the pitcher batting, you have an opportunity there at the bottom of the lineup, and he's been primarily in that 8 or 9 spot, and that's been really helpful for, you know, when the lineup turns over at the top.
Another guy that very quietly has done very, very well this month is Jake Bowers. And I know that he was really under the microscope, especially early on, and he struggled at the beginning of the season. But, Rosie, he's really turned it on this month. You know, over his last 30 games, again, like Tyler Naquin, very, very quietly, he's hit the ball exceptionally well.
Well, he has. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget a player is a young guy because he came over here and Yeah, I think the Indians were excited about the trade they made with Tampa Bay. I don't necessarily think they wanted to part with Yandy Diaz, but they had an opportunity to pick up Bowers, and they thought he could help. But the bottom line is he's only 23. He won't turn 24 until after the season ends, and he only had a half year in the major league. So he's going to have his ups and downs, and he did early on, but he stayed with it. The Indians really were committed to playing him to see what they had, and I think Tito did a real nice job of getting him in there and then maybe pulling back the reins on occasion when he would face a tough lefty or something along those lines. But even against the lefties, he's done a real nice job. So I think it's just a case of the talent is there. How do you get that talent out and performing, especially when it's a young player? It's not easy, but it seems like the Indians have handled it really well, and then Jake has responded.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You can hear Rosie beginning at 6:35 tonight on Indians Warm-Up, the Tribe taking on the Kansas City Royals for a three-game weekend series down at Progressive Field. Rosie, the Tribe is playing extraordinarily well. This five-game winning streak has been a lot of fun to watch, and really I think it kind of goes to show how you can't get too high or too low along the way throughout the course of a very long season. And to put this into perspective, you know, after losing two out of three against the Twins, a lot of people were kind of down in the dumps, but now all of a sudden, they're only four games behind Minnesota in the American League Central Division. It's safe to say that it's, you know, still just business as usual down in that clubhouse, even going back to that weekend series where they lost two out of three against the Twins?
Well, you know what, Bull, I think the way maybe on the outside people look at a series of games or a stretch of games is a lot different than how the players do. And I thought Oscar Mercado made a great point because someone kind of asked the same thing after that Twins series. And he said, we just played the Twins three times and we lost one game in the standings. Why is that a big deal? I mean, there's 80 some odd games left to play, or maybe a little bit less than that. But I mean, they played them three times and they lost a game in the standings. It's not like they lost three games in the standings. They just lost one because they dropped two out of three to the Twins. So I think his point being, you know, it's a lot of baseball to be played here, and there's going to be stretches up and down. And, you know, the Indians were fortunate. They swept the Tigers four straight. They've gained more ground, but they'll probably have some stretches where they're going to hit a rough patch and lose ground to the Twins again. It's not just a steady climb up the ladder to get to the top of the division. It's going to go up and down. Even if they are successful in the end and are able to overtake them, it's not just going to be a straight line up. There's going to be those ups and downs, and I think that's the key point. The players understand that. Look, they just show up each day and try and win a ball game, and now you can look up at the end of the week and say, hey, it's been a great week, but they don't do that. They just focus on the game that night. What happened last night's done, and they'll try and win a ball game tonight against Kansas City.
That's an interesting perspective from Oscar Mercado because, sure, he's right. It's just one game in the standings, and oddly enough, they've been able to more than make up for that over the last few days. If we could stay on Mercado for just a second, because, you know, certainly he had his struggles, but he's really gotten himself out of that funk recently. Anything more to it than just kind of grinding out what was a really rough stretch for him?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, he did make a mechanical adjustment that, you know, he had kind of fallen into a habit that made it tough for him to have success. But Ty Van Berkley, the hitting coach, and his assistant, Victor Rodriguez, they were able to pinpoint something. And then Oscar was able to see that and then put it into play this week and really clean up his swing a little bit to a point where he could have some success. So a little bit of a mechanical thing, but also battling through and, you know, again, you know, I think especially with young players, they're going to hit their stretches. And what you look for in a young player is how quickly can they get out of a tough stretch? Because for some, it's a real challenge. And that's what separates those who go on to a really nice career to those that maybe just have that one stretch and then it's a struggle for them after that. But he's done a real nice job of limiting the tough stretches and getting back to good success quickly.
Rosie, the heat is something that will be discussed a lot over the next couple of days. Temperatures in the mid to high 90s, and the heat index is ending up in the triple digits as well. You know, when you take a look at the players, a lot of these guys are pretty young, and they might be experiencing it for the first time. And even for the guys that aren't experiencing it for the first time, you know, what are some of the things that these guys do in order to try and adjust to this, since these are the kinds of things that, especially up here, we don't see very often?
Well, Bull, I think you said young players experiencing it for the first time. Anyone who's played in the Dominican Republic, if it's a young player from Latin America, that's what they grew up with. And I think that the fact of the matter is for most players on the roster, they're from the South, so that's what they grew up in. Now, because we're from Cleveland, we've played 2 months in cold weather, you know, you do get used to that to some extent, and you do have to readjust. So, what do they do? Obviously, you know, it's what anybody would do. Heavy hydration. They take every step, the training and strength and conditioning staff, they take every step available to them to keep the players hydrated and cool during the game. For pitchers, that might be, you know, in addition to whatever they do to stay hydrated, a lot of times you'll see pitchers go through 3 and 4 jerseys in a game just to kind of stay dry and keep that cool. Whether it's the jersey or the undershirt or both, you know, you'll see them go through quite a few of those over the weekend. But, you know, a lot of it is just, again, hydration. And there's a lot of different ways that they make sure the players stay hydrated. And that's the biggest key. As long as they're able to do that, then they can get through a tough stretch. But again, I think most of them, every summer, there's stretches. And maybe it's different because it's here. But we do get our hot stretches here. But whenever the team goes to Kansas City, it's smoking hot. Whenever they go to Texas, it's smoking hot. And you just battle through the best you can.
Well, let's hope that the Tribe stays smoking hot as they take on the Royals tonight. In just a second, we'll get a closer look at this matchup against Kansas City, who's also coming into this thing smoking hot. But before we do that, any updates on Corey Kluber and Danny Salazar, and any idea how far along these guys are and when we might see them pitching for the Tribe again?
You know what? It's been good stuff from both. Kluber threw his first bullpen a couple of days ago, and he's scheduled to throw another one on Sunday. So that's good. No timetable yet on when he would return, but positive in that he's throwing bullpens now, as that's the next step. And, you know, after that, after he throws bullpens, then it's probably some sort of simulated game or live batting practice, and then out on a rehab assignment. We just don't know when that's going to be, because there's still a process where he has to build up strength before he can really turn it loose in those situations. Salazar's on his rehab assignment, had another good one on Tuesday in with Akron, and he's scheduled to throw again on Sunday. I'm not 100% sure with which team it will be with, but he is scheduled to make another start on Sunday, and I think he only has 2 left where he can pitch in the minor leagues on a rehab assignment before the Indians have to make a decision. So he's getting close. Everything's gone well so far, at least as late as yesterday, you know, the latest update we had. So that's real good news on Danny Salazar. You know, at some point they'll need to make a decision on him, so you might see him by the middle of next month, if not sooner.
All right, Rosie. Well, we will wrap up on this. We mentioned we'd come back around to previewing this weekend series between the Indians and the Kansas City Royals. The Indians, as we know, red hot, winning their last 5. Kansas City, don't let that win-loss record fool you. They come into this thing hot as well, having swept the Chicago White Sox. Both teams come in red hot. This should be a pretty competitive series.
Yeah, I think it will be. And you know, the Royals have kind of played the Indians pretty tough all season anyway. But obviously they're playing better baseball. I think the All-Star break did them a good service, you know, just to kind of catch their breath. They are down a couple of key players. They traded Martin Maldonado, who's their frontline catcher, and they also have lost Adalberto Mondesi, who's one of the really bright young shortstops in the game today. He's on the injured list with a shoulder issue, but they still have some dangerous hitters. And, you know, pitching's been an issue for them, but obviously they played really well this week, so they'll be feeling good about themselves coming in.
Rosie, as always, we certainly thank you for the time. Stay cool out there tonight. Have a great call. We will talk to you again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget, you can hear Rosie beginning at 6:35 tonight with Indians warm-up. He and Tom Hamilton have the call at 7:10. All right, let's open up those phone lines, 440-322-0930. Thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Kansas City Royals on Sunday, August 25th. Again, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. If you want them, be the first to call, 440-322-0930. We need to get to a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.